put in three markers and we'll actually get there? Isaiah 28, 1 Corinthians 14, Hebrews chapter 5. We're coming near the end of the year, 2006, and always at the end, near the end of every year, I begin listening specifically and asking the Lord about the coming year. I'm not a prophet. He's never said anything about being a prophet. But listen, if you hang around the throne, you're going to hear some things from God, you know. And I've gotten a few little inklings, you know. One day recently, I had this little mini vision. I knew I was here at the prayer center. And there was a group here about like what's here tonight. And it was like I heard these almost moaning voices here and there, like almost crying out. Is there any milk? Our jaws are so tired from chewing on this meat. We long for the days when we could take a long, cold drink of milk. Is there any milk? And it originated on the same place in me where I've learned through years of experiences where God speaks. And I've been asking Him about that, and I know it's got to do with this next year. See, because we've had a prophecy ever since September 11 of 2005, where He said, don't be relaying continually that same foundation again and again, because He wanted to start building a superstructure. And there's been very little, precious little, of relaying those same foundational things again. Every now and then, a little drink of milk, but not much. But if I'm hearing Him correctly, the difference between next year and this year is going to be as big as the difference between this year and previous years regarding the level of teaching that's coming. How many of you know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? See, we all know that. You could teach that. You could go to Korea and teach that. You've heard it. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit has a way of just taking what you think you understand. He says, you do know that in the days when the revival hits, and the vision that I showed your pastors come to pass, where the ambulances and the vehicles are lined out beyond the expressway, and they're filling the field up out there with people on stretchers, and then they're all being healed. He says, you do know you're not going to have any Bible different than the one you have now. In other words, the New Testament is not going to change. You already have it in your hands. What is going to change? Your revelation of it and your transformation to it. See, there is no new truth. The truth has already been established once and for all. Jesus being the chief cornerstone and the apostles having laid down all the original path. But then we had 2,000 years of religion, you know, like dumping trash on top of that path where nobody could find it anymore. And we've used the analogy many times of the revelation that God gave Dave about meditation of the Word and praying in other tongues. It made little archaeologists out of all of us, you know. We go and we start, every hour you spend praying in tongues and meditating the Word, it's like you're shoveling down through all of that debris. And then every now and then, you know, you find a new stone. It's not really a new stone. It was laid down originally by the Lord Jesus. It was laid down by the first apostles. But it's new to our generation. It's new to our generation. Well, that's what's going to happen. That's the process. So we're coming into this time now where we're going to go in. I mean, God is just real serious about this revival. Well, and if that's the case, you do know that we're eventually going to have to go from milk to meat. Go from milk to meat. Now, the question, I've never had a good answer to this question till this week from the Holy Ghost. The question has always been, well, what do you do? Because in every congregation, I look around this room, I see faces that's been here 1 year, 2 years. I see faces that's been here 10 years. I see faces, if Daisy was here, she's been here 15 years, I think, maybe 16. Derek and Diane have been here since the beginning. We have all levels. You know, we've got people that are pretty new. People that just recently moved here, you know, and they're catching up quick. So the question has always been, well, when you've got a mixed congregation like that, how do you serve meat? Because Paul said to the Corinthian church, because they were babies, you know, he says, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't because you're carnal, you're spiritually, and there's nothing wrong with babies. I think babies are cute, don't you? God loves babies, but you just can't feed them, you can't feed them steak. See, they'll choke on it. So that's been the hard question. Well, how do you do it? Well, I think before we get through tonight in Hebrews, we're going to have an answer to that. All right, well, let's talk about milk, going from milk to meat. Now, I taught the beginning part of this Sunday night at Calling in the Lost. For those of you that were not there. Oh, and before I forget it, I brought the tapes. They're sitting by the chair where Sue and I normally sit. And if you were at the service and would like a tape of that, then after the service, go get one. It's already at www.iktus.net. And so if you'd like to hear it that way, it's already there in MP3 format. Now, I'm going to review some of that tonight, but we're going to go way beyond there tonight. Okay? So let's start in Isaiah 28. We're going to go from milk to meat. All right? And actually, when you find Isaiah 28, put a marker there or hold it, put your hand there and hold it. The first scripture I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians 14. Because many people don't know that Isaiah 28 has a twofold meaning. Isaiah 28 was speaking to a spiritually dead people that God loved but were in rebellion. And so he was talking about how he was going to correct them. But prophetically, he was speaking of our dispensation. Spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking people. And we can prove that from the Apostle Paul, because he quotes from this very passage. And he does it in all things in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, which is the chapter in all the Bible, all the New Testament, where we have the most information about speaking in other tongues. For example, 1 Corinthians 14:2, this is where one of the first revelations I ever heard from Dave says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. And the milk level that we've all heard on that, and that was foundational. Don't get me wrong. When I say milk, it's because it's foundational. You have to have this. You have to understand this. And if you're new, thank God for the tapes. Thank God that all that material, thank God for the book. All of this material is available. You can quickly assimilate this. Okay? But he speaks mysteries, all right, quickly, just real quickly. What kind of mysteries? Like Dave would say. Are we sneaking up on God and explaining things to him that he doesn't understand? No. No, what the mysteries that you're speaking when you speak in an unknown tongue is everything that you want to know. It's everything to do about Christ in you, through you, to you. It's everything to do about your calling. It's everything to do about the plan of God for your life. Hallelujah. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. All right, other things in this chapter. Verse 4, look, come on down to verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Well, it took almost the whole born-again trail to explain that verse. What do you mean, my spirit prayeth? Who's originating the prayer? Is it my spirit originating the prayer? Is it the Holy Ghost originating the prayer? Where is this voice of God? How many of y'all remember this from the early days? Where is it? Is it like in the mental area? No, it's much deeper. It's lower than that. Would you say maybe the solar plexus? No, deep, the belly button area, you know? How many of y'all remember those foundational teachings? But to understand that, thank God for the born-again trail. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right? Verse 18, I'm just letting you understand, this is the chapter, the 1 Corinthians 14, where all of this information about other tongues is. Look at verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Would you say Paul is advocating speaking in other tongues? All right, now look, let's come on down to verse 21. This is the verse I was headed to. He says, in the law, Where in the law? We're about to read it in Isaiah 28. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now he is directly quoting from Isaiah 28. And he's, if you're going to leave it in the context, he's saying prophetically, Isaiah was speaking about, prophetically talking about speaking in other tongues. That this was a way that God would communicate to us. Now let's go back to Isaiah 28 for a minute. Isaiah 28:9. This is a good question. How many of you want knowledge? Want God to teach you knowledge? It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Let me see your hands. How many wants it? Well, to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? We're called to a revival of the doctrine. How many of y'all want to understand correct doctrine, not false doctrine? Want God to teach you? Are you a candidate for that? Well, let's see what it takes to be a candidate. Who's he going to teach knowledge and who does he cause to understand doctrine? It's those that are weaned from the milk. Not still on it. Weaned from the milk. Drawn from the breasts. Now let's stop here just for a minute and talk about milk. Does it matter whether it's human milk, a mother nursing her child, cow milk, nursing her calf, a wolf? Doesn't matter what species. Milk always is food that has been pre-digested by another. Somebody else took the cow had to eat the grass because the calf at that age had no capacity to digest it. It's not mature. It's not developed enough yet. So there is a time in the calf's life or the little baby's life, or take the analogy, there is a time when milk is appropriate. And so someone else eats the grass. Someone else eats the food. And a cow is a perfect example because it has multiple stomachs, you know, and it's like meditation, you know. It's like chewing it again and again and chewing it again and again. It's like meditating the Word of God, isn't it? But see, eventually it becomes suitable for nourishment for others. Isn't that a good analogy? And you come, and the little calf didn't have to do the digesting. The little calf didn't have to go and find the grass and eat the grass. The calf just comes and happily receives nourishment. Where all the work has been done by somebody else. How many of you are real grateful for Pastor Dave? 30 some odd years, chewing, meditating the Word of God like an old cow. I mean, like a real man of God. Chewing that word and chewing it again, praying in other tongues. I love those stories, listening about those days on the road where he'd lay his Bible. He said the TVs were always just the right height and you could lay your Bible. You'd think I haven't listened to those tapes. You lay the Bible right on top of that TV at just the right height, and he'd go by and he'd read that whatever passage he was meditating, he'd read it again. Shandarabako sandala, walk the floor and pray in other tongues, you know. Come back by and read it again and read it again and read it again. Just doing exactly like that old cow does, preparing nourishment. He was the one at first, chewing that word, meditating, praying, preparing milk for us where we could come. Because we didn't have that capacity ourselves. And we could come and we could just drink directly the nourishment from the Word of God. See, and you need that. That's appropriate. That's good. I'm glad that little babies have mothers to nurse them. But it's inappropriate for that same child to be trying to do that same thing when it's 30. Let's cut that down. How about 15? What about 7? How many years you been coming here? Ha, 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 ha Now, if you haven't heard those messages, then you need the milk. And don't be embarrassed about it. Yes, sir. Okay, quota. Time out. See, here's the thing. Don't worry so much about the meat. You can hear meat. You can come to a service and have nothing but pure T-bone served. Thing of it is, though, when you leave, you won't be changed. Because you have no capacity to digest it yet. You can't receive it. Can't even see it. You can hear it, but you can't make it part of you. See, the whole idea of milk, what you eat becomes you. What you eat becomes you. That's the whole idea. All right? Now, there is a certain growth level you can achieve by drinking milk. Thank God for the milk. Now, let's look at this passage again. Because there comes that day when he's trying to wean you from the milk. All right? Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Well, when that happens, what begins to happen then? When he begins to teach you. Notice how he repeats himself in this. For years I quoted this wrong. I quoted it like this. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Is that what it says? No, he repeats it every time. I didn't notice that for a long time. Precept must be upon precept. Repeating, precept upon precept. Line upon line. Then he repeats it. Line upon line. Is he trying to make a point? Does it sound to you like you're going to receive truth in great giant slabs? It comes more like nuggets, doesn't it? It's very much like building a stone wall. Again, we go back to those early days. Usually we're asking questions, roof questions. Why didn't little Johnny get healed when I prayed? That's a good question. We all have questions like that, many other questions. But that would be a nice question. Why didn't little Johnny get healed when I prayed? Trouble is, that's a roof question. We have no walls of understanding to even support that. It would be like as if you landed a Boeing 707, if there is such a thing, a big airplane in Australia somewhere. And the Aborigines, who's never even been to school one day in their life, they grew up there in the wild, they come and they're amazed by this thing. And they want you to begin teaching them how they can build one. Now, somebody who's never been to school, they don't have... I mean, how are you going to teach thermodynamics? How are you going to teach electrical engineering? How are you going to teach metallurgy to a people who... They can't even do math at all. You say, well, first, okay, I don't mind to answer your question. But before we can begin, before I can really answer that one, listen, I first need to teach you your multiplication tables. And they go, okay, so you start. 2 times 2 = 4. 3 times 3 = 9. And they go, okay, I'm bored with this. Tell me how to build an airplane. No. Knowledge has to be precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon... If you will sit here and let me teach you precept upon precept, line upon line, we'll get there. But if you keep running off because you're bored... It's not that I'm not withholding information from you. I'm not trying to keep from answering your questions. I'm trying to answer your questions. But if you'll sit here and let me teach you this, well, we got to start at the multiplication tables. We got a ways to go, honey, before you're going to be able to build your own jet airliner. At this point, I can only tell you two things about it. Shiny and go fast. That's all I can tell you. But you said the works that you did, we'd be able to do also. Well, sit here. Let me teach you. line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I'd want to go hear Dave. It's good to go hear Dave. But when are you going to be weaned from the breast? When are you going to let me teach you? You have a calling. I have work for you to do. Should I stop or should I continue? Hallelujah. And then notice the next verse, 11. Let's see what he's talking about. What could he possibly be talking about? What prophetically that Paul quoted from this passage could the prophet Isaiah possibly be talking about as to the key of knowledge for our dispensation? You ready? Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak. He speak. He speak to this people. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, how be it in the spirit. He speak in mysteries. God wants to teach you how to build your jet airliner. He wants to teach you everything about your ministry. He wants to teach you everything that about the plan of God that was before the foundation of the world. But he sent a teacher. But he's already warned you, it is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Will we endure? Do y'all remember the very first word that the Holy Spirit ever gave this church? It's framed and out in the lobby for you. The key word is endurance. Endurance. Hallelujah. It takes endurance to sit there and be taught. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, to bring us into the fullness. Verse 12, he continues. Now, by the way, just so you'll know, see, this has a twofold meaning. In that day, they couldn't speak with other tongues. They couldn't even be born again. There was no speaking in tongues in the Old Testament. So what's he talking about then? Got to understand. In the Old Testament, this was a spiritually dead people. They were children of the flesh. God had adopted them, all right. But they were not spiritually born. So he had to correct them in the flesh. Now he would give them his word. He would send prophets and tell them what to do. Forsake these idols, turn away from the gods of these other nations, but what would they do over and over again? Little by little, they would slip. They'd begin worshiping other gods. They'd begin serving other gods. He would send the prophets and warn them. But you know, over and over again, time and time, what would happen? What eventually would happen? He would send another nation who spoke a different language. They would come and conquer Israel. And through that conquering and suffering, they would learn. He would teach them. It wasn't his best. But if you don't listen to me, God says, you're going to learn this lesson one way or another. In their day, it was a people of another tongue from another nation who would come and conquer them. And through that destruction, they would learn to repent. Listen, in our day, he has sent a teacher from another world. His name's the Holy Spirit. And he brought a language. And he will communicate because we are his spirit-born children. And he intends to correct us and teach us spirit to spirit, not by the flesh. The analogy is perfect. Stammering lips and another tongue. I will speak to this people. Makes me want to quit preaching and go praying. Hello, what am I doing here? Hallelujah. All right. Because for sake of time now, there's more. You could get through. There's a little more. We went through a few more verses. That's on that message from Sunday night. But he has something specific he wants to get into tonight. Go to Hebrews 5 now. Now, these are not exactly notes. This is just some of these same verses in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 5. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, and I've got to remember this letter is written to Jewish converts. People that grew up, they're Hebrews, they grew up under the law. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and eventually they turned to the blood of Jesus to save them rather than trusting in the works of the law. Okay? But now great pressure was coming upon them from their parents, from the elders, from the religious people of the day, saying, who are you? What do you think you're doing? You're rejecting the God of our fathers. Who is this Jesus? You need to turn away from this Jesus and go back to the law of Moses. Turn back to the God of your fathers. That's the kind of pressure that was on them. So the whole book of Hebrews, is the primary function of it is to build them up in their faith so that they will not turn away from Jesus and go back to the law of Moses. You got that? All right. Well, it's hard to know where to start here. I don't know exactly. Nobody knows for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people say it's Paul. Some people say it's somebody else. Whoever it was, he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you that. And listen to what he says here now. We'll just pick this up. Hebrews 5, verse 12. And read it out of the King James. It says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And notice, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now see, when you first get born again, what did Peter say in one of his epistles? He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Again, there is a time when milk is appropriate. Okay? But now notice, there comes a time when it's not. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look, he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. But you have need that one teach you again. Yes, sir. Okay, I can't let it pass. Go up to verse 10, just so you got to get this part. What had made them that way? What had made them become the type that needed milk and not meat? He says you should be able to do meat by now. You ought to be teachers of others. But something has happened that's made you become where you need milk again. What is that? Well, he tells you here in verse 10 and 11. It says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he's speaking of Christ, of whom we have many things to say. They're hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. See, the problem with hearing and hearing and hearing and never becoming a doer of the word, you become dull of hearing. I've heard that before. We used to have a thing here we called the shovel principle. Aaron, show them the shovel. See, yeah, that's for those people back there. You know, David say, you need to pray in tongues. And if I'm sitting where Rachel is, that's for those people back there. Use the shovel. This goes right over you. No, that's for these new people. No, I'm not picking on Rachel. I'm just saying, you know, anybody. That's how you become dull of hearing. I've heard this before. Is he going to teach again on the rich man and Lazarus? I've heard about the rich man and Lazarus. But have you done what's in that teaching? See? If you don't, you just hear it again. You become dull of hearing, and that's what had happened to them. And if that happens, then sure enough, you become a person who just needs milk again. Because why? You never established yourself on the milk the first time around. You never took it as nourishment. You took it as entertainment. That Dave, he's so funny. Isn't that Dave funny? Yeah, he's funny. We sure enjoy that church. You doing what he's saying? Oh, no. Fast? Me? Fast? It's Christmas. What's wrong with you? Pray? That's for those other people. That's for the newbies. I got to speed this up a little. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. See, Isaiah, I left just a little bit too quick. How do you go from a person who's feeding on the milk to a person who's eating the grass? That's when you quit talking about assimilating the New Testament and you begin assimilating the New Testament. Now I'm telling you right now, if you start today, it'll take you 2 years and 3 months to finish the New Testament if you assimilate every book 30 times. The reason I say that, if you shoot for a goal of to read every book once a day, well, that's kind of hard on some of them. Romans is a pretty difficult book to read every day. Jude isn't. Okay? You're going to read Jude several times in a day, okay? So what I'm saying is you take an average, because there's some long books and some short books, you figure, okay, 30 times, one book a day, on the average. Okay, there's 27 books in the New Testament, 30 times each book, 1 month each book, 27 months, 2 years, 3 months, if you start tomorrow. Well, that's how you do it. When are you going to start eating the grass yourself? It's time for you to start digesting milk for others, see? You notice here how he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, he's not saying every single person in the body of Christ has got the ministry gift of a teacher. But he is talking about getting to the place where you are individually, privately, the people you work with, the people you deal with, where your world is. You need to be light. You need to be salt. You need to be able to convey. You need to digest this where it's your milk and not Dave's and not Gary's. Amen? He'll get it across to you in a way that's uniquely yours. Hallelujah. See, that's what he's saying here. By this time you ought to be teachers. Is he saying every single one of these Hebrews has the office of a teacher, you know, pulpit ministry? No. But he's saying, you need to be doing this, weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast, digesting your own food now, assimilating the word yourself now, praying in those other tongues yourself now, so that the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, and that word becomes you. That nourishment goes into you, where you're preparing milk now for others. That good stuff. Now, one point you could take from that, God takes notice of the time that you've been hearing the milk. By this time, there is an accountability factor. God's taking notice. By this time, you should. There's another principle. To whom much is given, much is required. How many of you feel like you've been served some good meals at this church? To whom much is given, much is required. So at least privately, in your universe, your world of people where you live, where you work, your friends, your social fabric, it's time. Now again, did y'all notice that the doors are open and I'm not out of town? Sue and I are here. We don't miss any services. I'm not at all recommending. I mean, you understand, I'm going to hear whatever the Lord's serving here, through whatever servant He's serving it through. You with me? But that does not alleviate Gary Carpenter from doing my own grazing and out in the grass and doing my own chewing and my own praying. I got to have milk for others. It's good to take Dave's book. It's good. It's good to take the teachings. But it's best to have milk of your own. It's best when it's become one with you. When what you're serving is you, it's become you. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, according to my gospel. become one with Him. Okay? Hallelujah. Verse 13. Now we read verse 12 again for context's sake. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. All right. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, that's their five physical senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let me read those three verses to you in the Amplified. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk, now notice, continues to feed on milk, is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. Parentheses, and this is where they give the definition of that word. Conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. We are conformed to the image of Christ, is another way of putting it. We think like Him. Our purpose is the same as His. And our actions are the same. For He is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to the divine or human law. Before I say anything about that, yes, sir. No, I got to say something about that. That's still hard to understand. I'm looking around the room. I'm a teacher, and I can tell when the light doesn't come on. So let's give an example of going from milk, the milk level, to the meat level. In the early days, when we would be taught the milk principles, I'm talking even before the prayer center, when they was teaching us about the armor of God. How many of y'all remember those early days? I mean, They have you go through the little exercise. All right, now you need to put on the full armor of God. And they'd now stand. Now you don't have to stand up. They'd have us all stand up, congregation. I mean, this is at the convention center in Tulsa. You know, we've got 20,000 people, adults here, and we're all standing up, and we're clothing ourselves with the armor of God. You know. And I mean, you've got a lot of ministers here. I mean, you know, and we're standing up, and they'd, now you got to, and we'd physically go through the motions of girding our loins with that belt of truth. Hallelujah. Now, put on that breastplate of righteousness. You got it on there? Get it on there. Strap it on real good now. All right. Put on the helmet of salvation, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Man, and it would physically lead us through going through all those things as though that's what Paul was talking about. Well, then later on, I had I wouldn't say a T-bone steak revelation of it, but I had like a baloney level. Well, it's not exactly milk, but it's not exactly T-bone. It's somewhere in between. It's good. I like baloney. Do you like baloney? I like it. Fried with mustard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, I'm with a bunch of health people. Anyway, so I taught a series, and it's still good. It's a good series called The Armor of God. And we go into a little deeper level than that. We're talking about what faith really is, you know, the shield of faith. It's more than just holding up something there. It's what is faith? And we teach about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's how you quench all the fiery darts of the devil. It's a good teaching. It's good. Then I come here to the prayer center. Dave slaps a big old chunk of T-bone out there. We got time for this. Because you need to understand, this is the best illustration I have to date of what the difference is between continuing to live on milk or becoming one whose senses are exercised, where it affects you physically. All right, so go over, we got time for this. Go over to Ephesians 6 for a minute. We'll look at this. Here's how you go from milk to meat when it comes to Ephesians 6. Okay. Ephesians 6, and I'll just read this passage that's also familiar down to a certain place, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay? How would I do that? Well, you need to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, you've all heard this so many times, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and I could go on. Now, verse 14, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I was walking at the baloney level. It wasn't milk. It was higher level than milk, to be honest. And Dave says, would you like to know what that really means? He says, well, you don't have to go very far. Just start backing up in the same letter. So let's back up to chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 22. Now, the verse we're after is 25. But for context's sake, verse 22, that you have put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on. Now over there he said, we want to put on the whole armor of God. Here he says it this way, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how would I do that? Wherefore, putting away lying. How do you really gird your loins about with truth? It's when you're conformed to the image of Christ and you become a person who will not lie. When what you are on the inside comes to the outside. How do you really put? That's a little different than getting up in the morning. I'm going to gird myself around, going through the motions of, you know, putting on a little belt. I'm gonna gird myself with my little loins of the belt of truth here now, you know. That's a little different than having to go confess to Rosalie like Dave did, that I've let you believe a lie for 20 years or however long it's been. And I did do all, you've heard those lying tapes. His Truth, Our Foundation, I think it's called. We call them the lion tapes. Now see, that's the exercise of going through that, that's milk. It is milk. It's better than nothing. The level that I taught it, what I call the bologna sandwich level. It was higher than that. We went deeper than that. But I didn't yet understand it really meant what God has put on the inside. The real armor is when you get that on the outside. I didn't really realize till I came here. Now, how do I continue to just feed on milk? I let Dave teach that to me for 12 years and never stop lying. And I become dull of hearing, is he going to teach that story again? I've heard about the Burger King. I've heard about him walking across the bridge. I can tell the stories better than he can. Is he going to tell that story again? And that's how you become dull of hearing. And you become as one that needs milk again. Why? Because you've never yet let that truth become part of you. The milk has not become you yet. Previews of coming attractions. Ephesians 6 again. Go back to Ephesians 6. If that's the case, if how you put on the belt of truth, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. If that's the case where you stop lying, what would be the case for having on the breastplate of righteousness? That would be when you quit sinning. That would be when you quit sinning. And we're talking about the kind when you're all alone. What would it be about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? I know, I go through this. Do we have to? Absolutely we have to. Only if we want revival. You can go to heaven and not do any of this, by the way. You can go to heaven and not do any of this. The blood is enough. If the thief made it, so will you. Hallelujah. Oh my. Verse 15. What would be the real way you put on the armor of God when it comes to your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? That's when you quit worrying. That's when that tape series, Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God, served to you in milk form. You can just suckle there. You can just suckle. Is that a good word? I like the word suckle. You can suckle. Draw from the breast, if you will. Drink that milk. But see, there comes a time when you have to begin overcoming. Do y'all remember the story Kenneth Hagin tells when God told him he has to get to the place where he doesn't worry, casting the whole of your care upon him because he cares for you? And he says, Lord, I can't do that. I come from a family of world champion worriers. My mother was a worrier. Her mother was a worrier. I'm a worrier. I can't stop worrying. And he says, well, you're going to have to, or you're not going to get very far with me. Now see, you can just keep hearing the word and not do anything. Do you remember what he did? He would, before he'd get into bed at night, he would kneel beside his bed and do his best, you know, like we say, lay all your burdens at the feet of the Lord. He'd cast all his care on the Lord. So he had no more care on him, no worry. He'd get in bed, wouldn't be in bed 5 minutes, catch himself worrying again. So what does he do? Gets out of bed, kneels, had to do something physical, had to do something about it. He says, some nights I'd have to do that 15, 20 times before I could ever get free of the care. But he says, finally, see, his senses became exercised. He began learning that if he's worrying, that's not faith. And he began to discern it, even physically. He catches himself worrying. He goes, okay, I can't live with this. This is evil in the sight of the Lord for me to be worrying. This is evil. Having their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Let's go on a little bit more. Let's at least finish the armor. All right? So having your loins girt about with truth, that's when you quit lying. Having on the breastplate of righteousness is when you quit sinning. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is when you quit worrying. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's when you learn not to be moved by what you see. That's when the word takes its final authority in you. The shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation. What in the world would that be? That took me a while. The helmet of salvation. It's the mind of Christ. And especially for you personally. the mind of Christ. When you begin getting an idea, it's like, in my case, it's like when I finally found out from him that I'm not called a pastor. I never will be called a pastor. That was a great day. That's one little part of the mind of Christ that I have. Thank God I've got some others. But when the helmet of salvation is when you begin thinking like he thinks. You start seeing things from his perspective. Start thinking with eternity in mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, how in the world would you take that? That's when you quit telling me about your mountain and you begin talking to your mountain. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's when I don't sit for 50 minutes listening to all you telling me how bad your problems are. But you take that same 50 minutes and speak nothing but the Word of God over your situation. That's how you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very few people have it as part of their being. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm telling you right now from experience with most people, their abundance in their heart is not the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, in this next hour, no, I'm teasing. Go back to Hebrews 6 for a minute. We're going just a little bit more because I promised you I'd tell you. I got a little bit of insight finally about what to do because everybody. Stephanie's sitting back here about 1, 2, 3, 4 rows back. I'm embarrassing her real bad. She just moved here not long. Now she's listened to the tape. She knows a lot more of the message, but she's only been in Tulsa a few months, you know. Raise your hand, Stephanie. Dave doesn't know who you are. Okay, that's Stephanie. We just love Stephanie like our own daughter, you know. So I'm speaking all this knowing she just got here. Okay? And there's a lot of things she hasn't got to hear yet. Okay? And so I think of the Stephanies and the others that's come from New Life and other places, you know, and I know that we've got all different spiritual ages in here. Some of them are more mature than others. Some of them are more mature than me, probably, you know. So we've got all these different ages in here. So what do you do? Because Paul says, I'd like to give you meat, but I can only give you milk. Well, here, this writer, I don't know whether it's Paul that wrote Hebrews or not, but the writer here says, every one of you, you become like those that need milk, even though by now you should be on strong meat. So he's in that very same situation, isn't he? He's got people here. Now, actually, these are not exactly the same as the Corinthians that Paul wrote to, because they were very young in the Lord. These, I think, are older because he says, by now you should be serving yourself. They should be serving. But he says, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, forget the chapter 6 because the next word is therefore. What's his solution to this? You need milk, but you need meat. But you need milk, but you need meat. Well, here's what we're going to do. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He's talking about the foundational principles. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. Is that not exactly what the word said, what the Lord said to us back in September 11th of 2005? Don't be continually relaying again and again and again. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And he goes on and lists a whole bunch of things here. Let me read those couple of verses to you out of the Amplified and then we'll close for now. It said, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of faith by which you turn to God. So let's not lay again the foundation with teachings about purifying, laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long ago. If indeed God permits, we will now proceed to advanced teaching. And if I'm hearing from the Lord, that's exactly where we're going this next year. We're going on to some advanced teaching. Now, even if that happens, and I believe it will, you can still go the whole year of 2007 hearing meat taught and yet not be changed. Because it only changes you when it becomes part of you. That means you have to do the word that you hear. Now, I'm not normally much on commentaries, but I'm going to read you this little commentary by Matthew Henry, who lived over 100 years ago. This is a good one. He says, we have the apostle, and he's commenting on Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 8. He says, we have here the apostle's advice to the Hebrews, that they would grow up from a state of childhood to the fullness of the stature of the man, of the new man in Christ. He declares his readiness to assist them all that he could in their spiritual progress and for their greater encouragement. He puts himself with them. Let us go on. But here observe, in order for their growth, Christians must leave the principles of the basics of the doctrine of Christ. How must they leave them? They must not lose them. They must not despise them. And they must not forget them. They must lay them up in their hearts and lay them as the foundation of all their profession and expectation. But they must not rest and stay in them. They must not be always laying the foundation. They must go on and build upon it. There must be a superstructure. For the foundation is laid on purpose to support the building. Here it may be inquired, why did the apostle resolve to set strong meat before the Hebrews when he knew they were but babes? The answer, though some of them were but weak, yet others of them had gained more strength, and they must be provided for suitably. And as those who are grown Christians must be willing to hear the simplest truths preached for the sake of the weak, so the weak must be willing to hear the more difficult and mysterious truths preached for the sake of those who are strong. He hoped they would be growing in their spiritual strength and stature, and so be able to digest stronger meat. Father, I thank you that you're not willing to leave us like we are, that you are serious about this revival. And Father, this coming year is to be a year of meat, a year of growth, a year of maturity. Father, even the prophetic words you've been speaking most recently through our pastor speak of a time like has not been seen in the world for many generations. Father, we believe we are coming into that time that you've spoken of, a time when your Son shall shown to be alive in resurrection power. Father, we desire to be weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. Father, give us meat. Father, right now I'm remembering again the word you gave us so many years ago, that in these last days, your spiritual babies would be born with teeth, able to digest meat at an early age. Father, this is the time. Have your way with us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.